Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
So hi, girls! How are you today? Are we happy today? Okay, good. I need you to play with us today. Can we play? You know, everything else has been robbed from us. Have you not noticed? You're not allowed to have... I saw a funny meme today, and I don't know if I should say it out loud, but the memes going around are crazy. Have any of you been laughing at memes? Because you need to laugh a little, okay? And it was Jesus at the Lord's Supper with all of his men, you know, all the disciples, and he says, Newsom says that three of you have to leave today. I thought that was funny. So, you know what? Let's be the church. Let's be family. I'm sorry, but we cannot forsake the assembling of brethren. And that is a commandment from God. In fact, I can give you 10 scriptures on it because I've been studying it out. He's serious about us getting together. You know why? Because there's power in unity. So what is Satan doing? Let's look at what he's doing. He is separating us and keeping us in isolation. And he is putting in front of us these things that we think are really big, where God says, I've already had the victory over these things. I've already given you faith for these things. I've already said to the storm, be still. I've already taught you these things. And when you begin to undo the commandments of the Lord in our lives, we are taken with a blessing on our lives. That's something I'm not willing to do. And so when Daniel was told not to pray, do you remember that story? When he was told not to pray, what did Daniel do? He went up to his room and he prayed anyways, right? When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were told not, that they were told to worship another god. And they said, I'm not bowing before another god. He's my God. So what is God speaking to us in nowadays? What does God say? God says, do not forsake the assembling of brethren. That's what he says. He says that there are things that we are commanded to do as the body of Christ. And one of them is to love our neighbor as ourselves. How can we do that when we're stuck at home, when we're not entertaining each other, when we're not hosting each other, when we're not loving each other, when we're not pouring life into each other? Because I don't care what you say, it's not the same. You get on those Zooms, it's not the same. You don't come to church, it's not the same. I was stuck at home. I had coronavirus, guys. It was not that bad. And I've had worse. I've preached through worse, called GNO last year. I almost died. But I got out there and I preached my butt out. You know why? Because I'm here to tell Satan, not today, Satan. And we either believe that he's our God or we don't. He's either our healer or he's not. He's either on that throne or he's not. He either went to that cross or he didn't. And so I'm here to kick your butts a little bit back into faith, guys, and say we are faced with a choice right now as the body of Christ, as the kingdom of heaven is coming, guys. This is coming, and the bigger picture here is about God. The bigger picture here is about our walk with the Lord. And the bigger picture here is that his grace and his mercy has been sufficient for us. But I believe as God is calling us to awaken again and to get ourselves back into some things. And Pastor Dan talked this weekend. You need to go get the message if you didn't listen to it, because it was literally life-changing. And the first point was that we have to be expectant. We have to be expectant from God. And you know, when we've been in isolation and so much hell has come against our families, I can't tell you how many things have happened during this season. It's almost too much to count, right? Too much tragedy everywhere. Too much heartache, too much loss, too much sadness. And we get into Thanksgiving and complacent. And I feel like the Lord is like, stir yourselves up, church. Stir yourself up. I told you these days were coming. I warned you of this. It's happening, guys. If you read, I literally heard Biden. He was on C-SPAN the other day, and he was giving a speech, and I was listening to it, and he was talking about, we're getting rid of this system. The system is not what needs to be anymore, and it's going into a one-world order, and so we will be getting rid of our currency. And I'm literally listening to this going, it's just happening in front of us. And guess what I did? I laughed. You say, why did you laugh? Weren't you afraid? No. Why would I be afraid? God told us this stuff was going to happen. You know, in the world's mind, that makes sense if you think about it. But in God's mind, he's going, come on, guys, these are signs that I'm coming and that my will is going to be portrayed, that my victory has already conquered all of this. Remember, he was the one on that boat. We started this whole thing with that message about a gazillion times about Jesus sleeping on that boat and that storm is going off around him. Guys, the storm is brewing. But I'm here to tell you, you're of kingdom. You are daughter of the Most High. And so Thanksgiving, let's take it back. Let's make this what God needs it to be. Because they're even trying to take away our joy with being with our family. My brother called me today, and in Oregon, they told him they're only allowed to have 6 people in their home. I'm like, what if your family's bigger than 6 people? Like, kick a kid out, you know? Like, it's like, just the mindset is so foolish. And I'm here to say this to you today. We are not of the mindset of the world church. And right now, there is being a line drawn in the sand between heaven and earth. And who do you recognize and side with? And that's something you're going to have to ask in your families. And you're going to have to figure those things out for yourself. So no judgment. But I do want to challenge you in going into your word and finding out what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. And there's safe ways of doing this. There's safe ways of having these things. So do what's right for you in your home. And don't forsake the assembling of brethren. And when you get together this holiday season, bring Jesus at the table. Put scriptures around your table. Have conversations like we're going to have today. So if you are like, I don't know what scriptures to use, take notes today, okay? Because we have scripture for you. And bring the gospel back into the home. Bring Jesus into your conversation. Let's go into the season, girls, of being expectant that God is going to do some things that we maybe haven't seen him moving in. And that we are going to be expectant over some things. And I wanted to share a little testimony with you. I actually tested negative for the COVID, which I was the only one with symptoms, so that was kind of weird. And then I went into, like, I was sick longer than everybody else. Like, nobody in my family got it, but me and Dan, the kids were just totally like, whatever, this is so dumb, why are we locked in the house? So, but Dan got over it really fast. Then I was still, like, lingering. I was having a very hard time breathing. And but I knew it wasn't, like, different. It was something called bronchitis. Has anybody had bronchitis? Like, I get it every year. And so finally I called my doctor, and he's like, I'm sorry. We misdiagnosed you. We should have just given you antibiotics from the beginning. I'm like, thanks. No, I sat around for 2 weeks for no reason. And so they give me antibiotics. It starts working. But I could still feel the residue of the sickness that was trying to come against my body. And I heard the Holy Spirit say to me when I had a conversation with somebody and they were explaining to me like how bronchitis works, and Dr. V might be able to help me medically, and they said that it damages your lungs from past bronchitis phases, and so it like scars on the inside of your lungs, and so it's easier, you're more susceptible to getting it every year. And I said, and in my mind, I went, oh yeah, that makes sense, I do get it every year. And I heard the Holy Spirit go, what are you doing? And I was like, I felt like a little like, you know. And he goes, who are you? And I was like, your daughter? And he goes, what do those lungs need to do? And I'm all, heal. And he goes, you begin to speak to those scars. And I'm not kidding you guys. This gift of faith came on me. And I started speaking to my lungs. And I was like, the scars will heal. They will not return. These lungs are going to be operating at 100% capacity in the name of Jesus. And within one day, what medicine couldn't do, what rest didn't do, in one day, I felt like I literally had new lungs. I mean, I wish I would have taken a picture before and after because I feel like a new person. And I want to encourage you that that's our God. And that is the God that loves us more than anything going on in this world. He came in the form of a babe so that he could show us miracles, signs, and wonders, so that we could see the God of heaven loved us so much. And this Thanksgiving, we have a lot to be thankful for. And I know we can look at our life and say, I have nothing to be thankful for. I've lost my job. I've lost loved ones. I mean, I lost my father-in-law, guys. That's like, who loses a parent? And it's just so hard. It's so hard. Every day's hard. There's not a day that goes by we don't cry. And you know what? I'm still so grateful in the moments when I'm crying. I'm like the most grateful person for who he was and who God allowed me to have in my life. You see, there's moments that we can look at and say, well, I lost this. I'm sure you've lost friends in isolation. People lose their minds. Like, people have lost their sanity. People have lost rest. People have lost income. People have lost family. But I'm here to tell you today that the Church of the Living God has a promise from the Lord that he has already won this battle and that he is preparing us and that we need to stand firm in this and not look to be afraid of it, but know that we're stepping into what's in the future and that we can be thankful in every moment. And it reminds me of that verse that count it all joy through various trials. This Thanksgiving, if you could do anything, just choose to be thankful. I sat with the Lord this week and I said, God, I don't know. You ever have those sad days? I mean, we're girls. We're very emotional. So Pastor Jess has good days and I have bad days, okay? And I was having a bad day. It was a ho-hum day. I was on my couch. I was thinking about all the loss I've had in my life and what isn't. Is anybody else do that or just me? No, just me? Okay. Do you guys have that moment? Pity party, like, nobody's shouting, nobody loves each other anymore. Like, it's just stupid how your brain takes you to places that aren't even real, honestly. And I sat there, and I heard the Lord say this to my heart, you have to choose to be thankful. And I was like, okay, God, it's not easy. And he goes, no, but you know that you have to choose to walk in love. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I've had that lesson. You do have to choose to walk in love. And he goes, well, just as you choose to walk in love, you have to choose to be joyful. And I'm like, it's so true. You're right. I have to choose joy in my life. I have to choose to walk this out. He goes, in the same way, you have to choose to put a thanks on your giving to others, on your thanks to your giving and your worship to me. And so I have just a couple quick things, and girls, I'm going to say some scriptures and stuff like that, but we can have a chat. I wanted us to kind of chat about the scriptures that we're talking about, and so hopefully you guys, you know, if we were together and you guys weren't in the room, we could preach at each other all day long. We've had like 3-hour Zoom meetings, I think, like through this pandemic of just talking about scripture and things like that, and so I just wanted to kind of pose a thought to you guys that I really felt like the Lord was blessing me with, but he was talking to me about casting my care, you know, and because I'm like, how can I be thankful if I'm holding on to these things? And he goes, I never told you to hold on to the pain. It's time to cast it. And my dad, when I was young, used to take me fishing. And when you go fishing, you cast, and especially fly fishing, You cast. And the Lord was speaking to my heart and saying, in your thanksgiving, sometimes the enemy comes to rob the seed from you. He's going to try and take what's on your line away. And you have to cast your care. And I just thought, wow. And he goes, but in your casting, it's a sacrifice of yourself. You're giving that to me. You're throwing that away from yourself, from your emotions, from your will, from your mindset, and you're saying, I'm giving this to you, God, and I'm choosing this as a form of worship. And so Thanksgiving, he showed me, was worship. It's a sacrificial part of ourself to give a thanks unto the God who made heaven and earth. You see, ultimately, this world is falling apart. We can see it, right? I don't know if you guys have noticed, but Satan's, like, dragon head is just right in front of us. and it's comical to me because if we as Christians can keep our composure and not allow fear or panic or worry but thanksgiving to actually be our response, what's going to happen? There's going to be a power that's released in that, because when we give thanks unto God with our praise and our worship, and Tracy, you probably can touch this on a deeper level because you're a worshiper. So lately when I've been like doing that, the Lord will tell me, turn on worship music. And so I've been entering in my kids probably think I'm crazy, right? Like, so I will like turn it on our TV, and I'm like crying, and I'm having this moment with the Lord in just worship. And I notice my kids will be behind me, like they don't want me to see them, but I see them. And my daughter is in touch with like her soft side with God, and she's just always in the face of God worshiping. But my son, who's kind of the tougher guy, like doesn't show much emotion, is like, you know. And we have to create these moments of thanksgiving through our worship in our homes. You know, our homes are our sanctuary, and they are what we create, and God sees that as an honoring and a worship. And so today, let's find ways to be thankful through our worship and casting our cares and giving everything to God. So if you came in with some burdens, if you're online and you're like, you don't know what I'm facing, I don't, but God does. And so let's just take a deep breath. Can we just take a deep breath in his presence? And Lord, we just invite you in to be with us, to dwell with us, to sit with us in this Thanksgiving season. And Lord, we just submit our hearts in an attitude of surrender to the God of heaven and earth. Lord, you are Alpha and Omega. You are beginning and end. You know from the expansion of heaven, you knew us in our mother's womb. Lord, you created every personality you gave us. You created all of our good parts and our bad parts. Lord, you aren't shocked by what's happening in the world, but Lord, you are keeping us in your hand. And so, Lord, we give thanks to you today. Lord, we honor you today. Lord, we ask for your presence and your anointing to just fill this place, fill every room and every home and every car that's listening right now, God. Lord, we ask for a fresh anointing on the body of Christ. Lord, we pray for a great awakening in the church again. Oh, Lord, we ask, God, for faith to arise. We pray for a gift of faith in the season of fear, God, that has been just mandated on our world. And Lord, we just ask, God, that you would just take over, and Lord, that your goodness would cover and that your glory would be shown. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. I want to say this verse, if you're writing them down, Psalms 104 through 5. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever. Isn't that good news? His faithfulness continues to each generation. And I kind of wanted to dissect this one for a second, if you don't mind. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. You know, sometimes we don't come to church with a thankful heart, but we come to church kind of mad. Maybe you got a fight with somebody in the car before you got here. Your kids are bugging you. I don't know, but God knows. And when we walk through that door, when we cross the threshold of the Holy Land that God has given us to gather together to be saints, to worship, what happens? Our hearts change. You know, maybe I had aught with somebody, but when I enter into worship, I am not allowed to go like this to God and be mad at someone else. I got to deal with me, right? I got to deal with my bias, my prejudice, my whatever it is that I have against somebody for whatever they've done to me, and I've got to get right before God, right? That's beautiful. And did you know that that's actually an attitude of thanksgiving? Because it's a surrender of our hearts to God. And God is asking us to fully and completely surrender all that we have today, no matter where you're at, whether that's your home, whether that's here. God is asking us to remind ourselves that when we walk into the presence of who God is, that there is a holiness that we need to be in awe of. And that there's a reverence that he carries, that he deserves. And that when I walk in, every part of me that's wrong needs to die in the presence of God. And God's goodness will cover it. He will heal it. He will correct it. Oh, so many times, guys, I'm sitting through worship and God's correcting me. So many times. And keep an open heart of repentance during this Thanksgiving season. Like, God, I was wrong in that. Forgive me. Help me to do that better next time. And, you know, I believe the Lord just loves that beautiful entering into his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. The word go is actually something that you have to do. You can't just expect us to do this for you. You can't. You know, It used to be that, like, we had to set aside time to get ourselves dressed, to get ourselves going, to make time for the king to come into the house of God and not forsake the assembly. We had to make time. And in this season, it's been really easy to be like, oh, we're putting church on, we're watching it online. And guys, I'm guilty of this. I've done the online thing for a long time too. And you do your dishes, you switch out your laundry. I don't know if anybody else is, but I'm like multitasking in my head because I just can't sit still at home. And literally, I remember when this all started and they shut all the services down, Dan was like adamant, like, no. You're standing during worship in our living room. You're not going pee because you wouldn't do that in the middle of church. So go before. Like, my husband was like a stickler, you know. And there were, because we needed to keep some sort of a, this is our way of going. This is our way of separating. This is our way of showing God that we are putting aside time. You're not an afterthought. I'm not just picking this up on a podcast as I'm driving in my car, but I'm setting aside time to go and to hunger after the things of God. I am setting aside time to hear the Holy Spirit speak to me. I am actually putting aside myself and I'm making allotted time for the King of Heaven to have a moment with me. And so I believe that's been robbed from us during this season. And it's not your fault, but I think, church, we've got to change the way we do things. And we've got to get back into that going into his courts with thanksgiving. That means that I can't have distractions. You know, I used to put my dogs when I was home and I was watching online, I would put them in my room. Why? Because my dog, every time in the morning, I will sit down and she will go to the front door and cry. Even though I've already let her out 5 times. And I'm like, you're a devil from hell trying to get me to not read my Bible. Like, and the distractions are inevitable. But do you notice when you come into the house of God, it's almost like Satan doesn't get to play. Like, this is God's territory. And so I don't know what you need to do during this season. If you can get yourself into church and get yourself, like, I'm just going to trust God. You've got to trust God either way. You know, when the shot thing was going around, the shots were, like, you know, having effects on kids. I remember the Lord spoke to me. He goes, you got to have faith either way. You do it, you have to have faith. You don't do it, you have to have faith. Like, faith is going to be required no matter which direction you go. And so let's go into his courts, whether that's at your house and you make that church, guys. There's no distractions. Put the dogs outside, make the kids sit down and do what they would do during church. I mean, like, literally, we need to become rigid about getting the gospel back into our hearts and into our homes. And girls, that starts with us as the body of, as women. We create the atmosphere of our homes. Thanksgiving's coming. And if you are gathering, which, don't tell anyone, okay? And if you are, then bring Jesus into that gathering. You know, be accountable, because before God, they are going into your home. That's holy ground. You know, you don't get to do things in my home that are ungodly. It doesn't work. And so it's holy ground. Go into the courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. You cannot curse out of your mouth and praise God on the other side of it. You can't. I was watching a show just recently, and there were these girls, and they were talking about nasty things happening at a bachelorette party. And then 5 seconds later, they were like, let's pray because I feel so dirty now after that bachelorette party. And I was like, you are an embarrassment to Christians. You are an embarrassment to the body of Christ because you are wrong. Let's guard our hearts. He deserves more than that. He's not an afterthought to our sin. He is the one who covers our sin and who freed us of it. But let's not sin and then be like, okay, now Jesus. No, 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 no. That's not putting God first. That's not entering his courts with praise. That's cursing God and then wanting later for him to help you out. God will not be mocked. You need to put him as number one in your life. He needs to be the reason you do things and you don't do things. There needs to be a conviction of the Holy Spirit. And when we praise God and we give thanksgiving to God, we need to do that with a pure heart, with a clear conscience, with a surrender of everything to him. You see, God will not be mocked. I keep saying this to the church because I just feel that we are blending things. And God says, do not put words in my mouth. Verse 5, for the Lord is good. You might be going, I don't believe that. There's some of you in this room, maybe Tracy, this is what you were talking about. I don't believe that. Why did he take away my husband this year? Why did I lose my child this year? Why did I lose my job? If God is so good, why did he allow that to happen? Number one, we live in a fallen world. God gets blamed for a whole bunch of stuff that he didn't do. This is the devil's territory. This is, he rules. He's the ruler of this world. Did you know that Satan himself is the one roaming and seeking whom he may devour? We as Christians, we press into who God is. We follow his word and we reap the good and the benefits. But listen, bad things do happen to good people. They do. And you may not always have all the answers on this side of heaven. But what you have to determine as a Christian is that God is still God, no matter what I understand and I don't understand. And when you get with the Holy Spirit, he will actually begin to reveal some things to you. There may be corrections for you in what you've done or didn't do properly. And the Lord's going to say, listen, you're blaming this person the whole time, but let's talk about you. Let's fix these things. Now you're blaming me because you won't blame yourself. You won't face you. You know, we've got to take personal responsibility for life. And God is asking us to step into some very uncomfortable places. He's dissecting who we are. We've been alone with ourselves for a very long time. And I hope you've done a lot of self-care. You know, a lot of self-inflection, like, oh, I don't like that about me. I need to fix that. The Holy Spirit, I don't know about you girls, but there's been so many conversations with, like, what was that, Jess? Go back and deal with that. Fix that, you know? And I'm grateful for the Lord in that. But God is good. I'm here to tell you today that he is a good God, that he loves you, and that the things that you want to blame him for and be mad at, he can handle that. He can handle your anger. If you need to be mad, he'll sit there and let you be all mad at him. Some people cuss him out, and the Lord just sits there and, okay, are you done? Because now I want to wrap my arms around you and tell you how much I love you and tell you that I'm going to take you through this very hard place and that in your broken place, I'm sitting right next to you and I'm crying alongside of you and that every tear that you've cried, I've bottled it. It says this in the Bible. Did you know this? That he bottles every single one of our tears. Is that amazing? That heaven cares so much about us, that every thought and every broken place, he's with us in it. And he's going to get you through these broken places, guys, because he's a good, good God. And he loves you. So I hope that blessed you. His unfailing love continues forever. Isn't it nice to know that God loves you so deeply, so much, that no matter what man says or does, that God will always love you? That no matter what man says or hears or, you know, I've been in so many conversations and it's amazing to me what Satan is doing. I want to warn you guys, guard your hearts during this season. Guard them. What does that mean, Pastor Jess? It means when you think you hear someone, another Christian, saying something that you don't like or maybe irked you or bugged you, go talk to them about it. The Bible says to talk to your brother and your sister about it because I bet you that you'll find out that maybe it wasn't how you heard it, or maybe you heard something they actually didn't say, because Satan whispers things into our ears, and our brain, like, switches things into what makes sense for us, but that actually was not what was meant to be said. And so guard yourselves. Give grace to each other during this season, because your God loves you so much, but Satan is trying to bring division. He's trying to separate. He's trying to mix up our thought processes. This is not of God. And let's be smarter than Satan, because our God loves us, and he's going to show us the truth, and he cherishes you, and he speaks good things over you. Did you know that? That God speaks good things over you daily. So he loves you. His love is never unfailing. His faithfulness continues to each generation. You may be looking at our world right now and going, where is God? Hello? And he's going, I'm there. I'm right there. I've got this. What are you freaking out about? I've told you throughout all of this scripture that it's coming and that it's not going to get better, guys. You're like, what? This is not a good message. No, I know, but it is, because he told us that persecution is coming for the church. He told us that we will have suffering. And we have not had persecution, and we have not had suffering. But I'm here to tell you that those that endure till the end shall be saved, and that God is going to keep us in it, and that God's honor and glory will be shown through our lives. And so today is our day to give thanks to him, even in your hard moments. You show the devil that I don't get taken out that quick. I'm not going to be laid out that fast. You don't get to mess with me, and that God is on the throne. I'm his daughter, and no matter what you put me through, that I'm going to serve him wholeheartedly, and I'm going to go after God with everything in me, because I want to get to heaven, guys, worn out. I don't want to get to heaven and God says, why didn't you do anything with what I put right in front of you? Why did you miss this opportunity? Why didn't you do more for my kingdom? What were you so caught up in yourself that you missed all the people around you that needed the good news of the gospel? I do not want to get into heaven and have regrets. Today, let's just know that he has promised that this generation, that he's with us, that he's going to hold our hands through this, that he's given us the weapons in our tool belt to overcome these things, and that the same power that he had while he walked this earth is the same power we carry as his daughters now. That's a good word for us, and we can give thanks to God that he has not left us or abandoned us, but he has strengthened us and encouraged us through this. And so that's what I had for Thanksgiving. I just really wanted to kind of like just, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for you. You know, Women Rock has changed a lot. I look out and I'm like, where did everybody go? Today we would normally be eating lots of turkey and we'd be around tables and we'd be praying together. And we can go back and look at what isn't. Really easy to do, right? But I have to look at what's coming and say, this is what the Lord told me. Be grateful for what was. That was good. It was good. But now I have some new good things for you to step into. And there's new ways of doing things. And so let's be at surrender to what God wants. Let's open to what his voice is telling us this holiday season. But we do have a mandate, girls. Bring Jesus into our homes. Tell the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Love each other. And gather as best as you can. Because people need each other. People need to know that they are not alone in this very hard time. And so today I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for you that stayed with us online. I'm thankful for you that would come weekly. I'm thankful that God is doing a new thing in your lives and that you are standing firm in these very hard times. I'm so proud of you. So I just want to say, well done, church. Well done. Well done. And I love you, so I'm thankful for you. Pastor Sue, what do you got for us today?
Well, it's interesting because I mentioned that scripture, Psalm 100, 1 through 4, in my message last week, you know, about if you want to come into a place of joy, start with praise, start with thanksgiving, and just having a thankful heart. And it's such a key to getting out of the mole grubs, getting out of any what I call low-level kind of depression where you're just like, oh, nothing exciting happening today. But just to begin to praise God for everything. And I gave you a tip last week, you know, if you're cranky toward your husband, you know, just start thanking God for, you know, just things that you take for granted.
Did anyone do that?
I'm just curious, anybody in here, did you go home and thank God for different things? Did it work? It's magical,
it worked,
huh? Magical. Anyway.
Oh, it scared
him. Oh, he didn't know what to do, and all of a sudden you were a sweetheart. That's so good. But it is such a key, and especially the longer you've been married, the more you can take wonderful things for granted that your husband is, because that's just who he is, and you live with him, but you can take it for granted, and when you begin to thank God for those things, it adds that spice back in your relationship. But I was looking at Psalm 107 today, and it was interesting. There was a phrase that kept reoccurring, and I realized that it's probably the primary thing we actually should be thankful for. It starts in Psalm 107, verse 8. It says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness." We need to give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. Thank you, God. You are good. You're God. You created everything that we see. And we haven't even seen the new earth yet. We haven't even seen what it was originally like in the Garden of Eden. I mean, we see this, even this planet under a curse. I mean, you can imagine no weeds. I've been pulling weeds in my yard lately, and I'm irritated with weeds. But I mean, you know, just the beauty. And you think about, your mom brought this out years ago, that God created beautiful flowers on the backside of mountains that no one sees but him. And just the beauty that came from within him. But this reoccurring phrase is over and over again in this psalm, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." For his wonderful works to the children of men. You know, he has wonderful works and wants to do even more wonderful works in our lives if we'll expect it, like our pastor was teaching us, if we'll look for it. And I think during this season, we've had to look a little harder to find these things. But the beauty is, I've shared with so many people that a lot of people were just keeping up with that fast pace of both parents working and kids going off to school. And we've had a lot of moments to be with family and to actually experience boredom. What was that like before? You know, and some things like that. But just to get on a more intimate level, even with your own family members, and to see the wonderful workings that God is doing in people that you live with every day. And so if you don't know where to start, you know, start thanking him for his amazing goodness, for what he's doing, for his wonderful works. And it puts you in a place of really expecting to see more of his goodness, to see more of his wonderful working in your life. So it's one of those key things, I believe, you know. Anyway, but he repeats that like four times in the psalm. So evidently, he wanted us to get that.
If you think of God's goodness, what is one thing, like off the top of your head, I want to hear like one thankful thing you have for his goodness this season, not like years before, like this Jumanji year that we've been having. I always say like 2020 is like living in Jumanji, like
Groundhog Day.
Just one thing off the top of your head. What can you say like that stands out to you just ultimately?
Definitely more time with family. It's true. And the video we saw at the beginning is so hilarious because, yes, there's those moments of, like, just getting on each other's nerves. But overall, it's been so good, yeah.
I just think more time with family, which has been challenging, but but also more time with God. I mean, I think this year, above all the other years, I have just been in the Word, and just I feel like I've just grown. And you know, when I was bored, you know, I just delve into the Scriptures, and you know, just studying different topics and going to my concordance and just having it all out when I didn't have the time before. You know, so that's what stands out the most. Yeah.
I know this confessions of a pastor, I guess, but that is so true, Dr. B, because I used to club here, but just have these hours of study in the Word. And the other side of being a teacher, you have to love to study and research and everything. But when you get in almost like a maintenance mode, because your life is so fast-paced, you've had a lot of studies, so you draw from those things. But just to get in to study afresh, like you were saying. I mean, I used to, before we had apps for everything, you know, on my bed on a day off or whatever, I would have my big thick Knaves and my Strong's Concordance and my, you know, different translations all over. Now that's so readily available, so now we're definitely without excuse. But just getting back to that of, you know, and I felt that tug of the Holy Spirit, like, you used to just love to spend hours with me. Where is that, you know? And you know, I mean, there's nothing on TV, honestly. You know, I mean, I one night I asked my daughter, what are some good series? I went to this one. That I'm like, no, none of this. None of this is anything I want to watch. And that was like one of those nights that I heard the Holy Spirit tug. And just so I just kind of crawled off and and really spent some quality time in the Word, just afresh and just saying, Holy Spirit, talk to me. Jesus, teach me. And what does this say? And letting the Holy Spirit just lead you from Scripture to Scripture and break open the meanings. And it's just so richly satisfying that there's nothing that compares. And then you go, why haven't I been doing this more? You know, you really kind of kick yourself, but you know.
So me, I am grateful that God keeps us. I'm very thankful this year. I think about the church, you know, the things that Dan and I have had to face and the crazy conversations and rooms we've sat in this year. You would probably not believe me if we, I mean, we've been in politicians' roles. I mean, it's crazy. And I think back and I think about there has been so many attacks on the church that have just been squashed. It's amazing to me. And we haven't had to do anything except for just serve God and do what he told us to do. And
keep moving
just
forward.
Squashed. And I'm just like, and I truly am grateful that he's our defender. Like, I don't know if I can explain that to you. You may not have experienced as much as I have. But it is literally like when you have... I mean, I can use it on a small scale. Have you ever been accused of something that you didn't do and you're like, no, and you want to like justify yourself and I'm going to tell them how it really is, you know, and you want to do that, right? Like all of us do in our own flesh. But it was like in a lot of these moments, it was like, I can't, like, I can't respond. I can't say anything. We can't speak on behalf of the church. These are things that are way beyond us. Like, and the Lord, I would just hear him go, I am your defender. And it was like, I am so thankful this year because I watched every stupid attack that came against the church. I watched every word and every curse that was spoken over Dan and I, over this church, over our staff, over people. I've watched it fall to the ground. And we haven't had to say anything. And God is faithful. So I'm thankful that he's our defender. So remember that when you're in your trials and you're in a hard place, God's your defender. You don't have to go all out. Just let God speak for you. And it may take time, guys, but just trust him. Trust him in that. Go ahead, Tracy.
You know what I was going to say is how about the ladies online? Why don't you put in the chat something that you're grateful for this time, you know? And if it's family, anybody here say just being with family, that was a blessing for you. I see a few hands going up. But we want to hear from you. One thing I was remembering, too, this is not on the deep side, like studying the Word. This is more like, hey, I got to cook with fennel for the first time.
Fennel.
You guys know? I didn't even know what it was. I had to look it up. But it was just so fun. At our food distribution, they had some produce that was going to go bad at the very beginning when it all started. And one of the ladies from church, Mary, was so kind to hook me up with carrots and these big, huge carrots and fennel and all kinds of stuff. And so this has been a time of cooking. How many people have cooked something they never cook because you were in quarantine? Yes, a ton of hands. So there is a silver
lining.
Wait,
what did you make with fennel? Because I got the fennel too and it rotted because I didn't know what to do with it.
I just sauteed it and then I ended up putting some of it in a casserole. So there you go. I think I'm the only one who ate it. My kids were like, you know, okay. It tastes kind of like licorice. So if you like licorice, you might like it. So some people hate it. Yeah. Very interesting. So random. Anyway, you know, I did prepare a few words about gratitude, and I was so reminded of the time. You guys remember when Jesus healed 10 lepers? And he said, go show yourself to the priest. And on their way, it says, as they were going, they were all healed. And how many out of the 10 came back to say thank you? Yep, one. One. I just want to read from the Bible what Jesus said about that, okay? Luke 17, verse 11, Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? It says, because he was a Samaritan, okay? And he was like, the ones who knew better, the ones who knew the word, they didn't, all right? And Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. And so I was just realizing how Jesus feels about gratitude. How does he feel about Thanksgiving? He really notices, doesn't he? And he notices when we don't thank him, right? He takes it to heart. Amen. Imagine looking in Jesus' face and him saying to you, now come on, look in Jesus' face right now, and him saying to you, you were the only one who thanked me for that today. Didn't I give everyone the sunrise? Didn't I give everyone the breath in their lungs? We just sang about that today. And he'll look at you and he'll say, but you remembered. You remembered to say thank you. Let's remember to tell him thank you. Amen. And I did a little bit of research about thankfulness in different societies and stuff. And you know, if you think too much, it gets annoying. There are some cultures where they don't even have a word for thank you. It's kind of just like, you don't need to say that. And it's so hilarious because everyone thinks of me as like so nice, like, oh my gosh, you're just too nice. But I met my match the other day. It was a lady on the phone from Kaiser, the operator. She thanked me so much. It started getting just a little annoying. I know that sounds terrible. I just gave her my name. Oh, thank you so much. She had to put me on hold for like literally like 5 seconds. Oh, thank you. So I was like, and it was kind of a long conversation. And I was like, I think she's thanked me like 30 times, you know? And it got a little bit like over the top. Now, of course, she was just so sweet, but it's funny. Pastor Jess says, when Tracy thinks it's too much. Oh my gosh, it was so much. So I was asking the Lord, Lord, do you ever get annoyed with how much we thank you? Like, Lord, thank you for my coffee. Lord, thank you for this. And I really felt like he was just giving me this impression. It's only annoying if the thanks is too much in comparison for what we did. Like, all I did was tell you my name and you tell me thank you, right? But with God, even the smallest detail is done with such care. See, our thanks can never be too much because even the smallest thing he did was so much love. And it says that all throughout the Bible, he knows how many hairs are on our head. He makes sure birds have enough food and is even more attentive to our needs for food and clothing. So you can thank him for your clothes and your food because he was so detail-oriented about it. He made the sun, moon, and stars visible for us to enjoy and calculate the seasons and years. You know, there was a scientist who said that this is only one little portion of the age of the universe where we could see the stars. And he had a bunch of scientific reasons. But anyway, it's just a blessing to be able to see the beautiful sun and stars. Did you know he made the rainbow for us? Genesis 9, before Genesis 9, there was no rainbow. He made that happen so we could see it. So we could see it. Oh, I just saw it. Did anybody see a rainbow the other day when it was raining? My son and I got to see one. It was awesome. He made, it says in 1 Timothy 6:17. Might want to write that down, especially during Thanksgiving. 1 Timothy 6:17, it says, he made all things for us to enjoy. So good. He made all things for us to enjoy. Yeah. So these are little tiny details we could easily miss. And I just want to leave you with one more verse. And this is one I tell my kids anytime they receive a blessing, you know, anytime we've had a really great vacation, I tell them every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. And you find that in James 1:17. And on our last trip, my son found a store that he's really into sneakers. He's turning into a little sneakerhead. That's his little thing right now. And it was this blogger is the owner, and he happened to be there. There's only two stores, one in Las Vegas and one in New York. We happened to be visiting family in Las Vegas, and he just stumbled across this store. The owner, who he knows, is there. There's a wall full of sneakers. It was such a blessing, and I know it sounds so silly, but I told him, the Lord did that for you. Every good and perfect gift. Let's teach our kids to thank God for every little thing. Amen? Yeah, praise God. Good. Amen.
So good. Dr. Vanessa. Oh, that was so good. I know. I'm just like sitting like, did I thank God for the sun today?
Pastor Tracy and her
mild manner. She always makes me feel unsaved. Like, did I thank the Lord today? You know, Miss Louise, who recently went home to be with the Lord, and I was talking to her, and she just was like, I said, what's your secret? What do you do anything that I need to, what can I glean from you? Yeah. You know, and she said, every day when I open my eyes, I just say, thank you, Jesus. Yeah. And I just have a heart of gratitude that he gave me another day. And so I was just, I took that to heart, you know. And somebody else I heard said, you know, during COVID, we have to wash our hands so much. And they do, they tell us to wash like 20 seconds, right? Every time you wash your hands, instead of thinking about COVID and all the negatives, just take that 20 seconds every time throughout the day and praise God and tell him something that you're grateful for. But the verse that has been on my heart, Pastor Jess mentioned earlier, is 2 Corinthians 12:9 that says, my grace is all you need. My grace is sufficient. My power works best in weakness. And I looked up that word grace, and it, in the Greek it's the word charis, and it means favor. You know, we've heard at our church Pastor Jim say, you know, it's God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on my behalf when I can't do it. And we've heard Pastor Deborah say, you know, it's his power in me to do what he requires of me. And I heard, I was listening to Tony Evans, and I like this one as well. It says, it's God's inexhaustible supply of goodness, where he does for us what we can never do for ourselves, what we do not deserve, what we couldn't earn, and that we can never repay. And so I'm grateful for grace, for God's favor, because, you know, I'm grateful for my family, but if it wasn't for the grace of God, I couldn't survive. You saw the video, right? You know, I'm grateful for them, but his grace enables us to get through hard times. His grace enables you to raise your toddlers and so they don't get killed, and to raise your teenagers so you don't kill them when they are rebellious and have attitudes, and to let the older ones leave and cleave. It's the grace of God, you know, and I'm grateful for health. But if it wasn't for God's grace, Satan tries to take us out, whether it be through COVID or whatever it is. But his grace enables me to enjoy the family. You know, you wouldn't want to be sitting up there in a wheelchair or recovering from a stroke or a heart attack or an oxygen tank. But God has put us in our right mind because of his grace. What, stepping in when we can't do it, he does it. And I'm really grateful for my husband, you know, but I'm like, it's been 36 years. And Lord knows, anybody that's been married more than a couple of years, it's the grace of God. You know, there's times when you could call it quits, times when you get annoyed, times when you just like want to throw up your hands and say, no more. You know, between children drama and finance job drama and job drama, but God's grace, you know, it's sufficient every time. It is. It's just, you know, that has just been speaking to me. And, you know, I also found Romans 6:14. It says that I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. So sin doesn't have control over me. And I'm so grateful for that, because all the habits that, you know, we have such a hard time. You know, you're about to enter Thanksgiving, and, you know, family, unsaved family may tempt you. You know, but there's no temptation that God doesn't provide a way out, you know, to your old life, right? They may say, you know, you're not really saved. We know, we knew you back in the day. You know how it is when you get together with family. They don't really understand, right? But sin has no dominion, no power over you anymore. And all of us know how loudly the flesh can scream for us to bully us into doing what it demands for us to do. But we can say God's grace, his divine ability to do what I can't do, can pull me through this thing. And 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we keep trying to earn our way to God's blessings, you know, but it's a free gift. You know, my husband, he hates technology, and, you know, he would rather, you guys are probably too young, but he would rather a TV that you go over there and turn it on,
and turn the channel. It says number three, you turn to number three, there's a channel. You know, and our remote, it's not that complicated, but he's like, always gets frustrated, like, can somebody just turn the TV on and fix the thing and whatever. And so the remote is the better way. With the remote, you can sit there with your coffee and drink your coffee. You don't have to get up and go change the channel. But he wants the old way. So we have to grow in God's grace, because the old way is not the best way, right? God has given us a new way. He's doing a new thing. He's ready for you to cast your care, like Pastor just said. Throw it over there. Cast it like a fishing line. It takes effort for us to give it to him. But God says, grow in grace. Every day, try to make your character be more like God's character. Every day, try to make your attitude and your ways more like God's ways. And then we will appreciate the newness of God, the grace that he's given us. Because it takes humility. Pride will say, especially if you grew up poor and impoverished, you know, where I was just like, everything I've had and everything that I've done, I had to do on myself in my mind before I knew God. Just like, okay, this isn't working, I'll fix it. This, I have to do this to get this money for this, doing it on my own. So it takes humility to say, you know what, in and of myself, I am absolutely nothing. And I need you, God. I need you here. I need you there. I need you every aspect of my life. And I want to be closer to you. So in this season, just be thankful that he's there, that his power is sufficient to get you through anything. And it's because of him that you have health. It's because of him that you're even here to be in 2020, you know, in this COVID, and grow closer to him in the word of God. It's God's grace. Yeah.
So good. You girls are just so full of wisdom. I have my papers everywhere on my little piggy. Do we have a little bit of time? Do you guys want to take communion together today? I mean, we have it. We didn't really plan it, but I just think there's just something so holy about breaking bread together, you know, and it is another commandment from heaven that we are to do together. So do you guys have it? Did the ushers pass it out? As you walk in, you have it. Well, then we are ready. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians. And before we do, I'm going to do this quicker than we normally do, but in 1 Corinthians, it's a new Bible, so nothing opens. You guys ever have those new Bibles and you're like, where is this? It's like, I know where it is. Like, but 1 Corinthians, in the scriptures, he's talking about communion, but in verse 11, the order of the Lord's Supper. But he talks about later in these scriptures, and when he talks about the Lord's Supper, he says to examine yourself. And we here at The Rock, we take these very serious. Verse 31, it says, but if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way. Yet when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined by, so that we will be condemned along with the world. So, my dear brothers and sisters, when you gather for the Lord's Supper, okay, wait for each other. If you are really hungry at home, so don't bring judgment upon yourselves, but when you gather together, I will give you instructions in other manners when I arrive. And the Lord is talking about there are ways of doing things God's way. And hold it back. When they were coming into communion, they were drinking all the wine and they were eating all the bread before they were breaking it together. Does that sound like a little bit like our Thanksgiving table? Like, and so the Lord is like, come on, pull yourselves together. But he's also saying that he does not want you to bring judgment on yourself. So let's back these verses up into verse 27. So anyone who eats of this bread, so we're going to eat this bread and we're going to drink of this cup. But he says, but if anyone who eats of this bread and drinks of this cup, the Lord, in an unworthy or guilty of sin against the body and the blood of the Lord. This is why you should examine yourselves before eating this bread and drinking this cup. For if you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, honoring the body of Christ, because this is holy, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. This is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. Those are some intense scriptures, right? Like, oh my goodness. I think what God is asking of us is to get right before him before we break bread. And I don't know where your life is. I don't know what you struggle with daily, but he does. And you can come to him in a very holy place. This is a holy place. If you're online, your home right now is your sanctuary. And I want you to just hear the voice of God and examine yourself. If you are in sin, if you've been separated from God, because that's what sin does, it separates us from God, then we need to repent today. And if you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your life, maybe you've had this concept of God, like, I know who he is, I believe there is a God, but you've never asked him to come and be the Lord and Savior of your life and prayed that prayer, then today is your day to get right with God, to line your heart up with God, to surrender your life over to him and allow him to be your Lord and Savior. When you do this, he becomes all in your life. You become a new creation in Christ Jesus. All your sins, all your old ways, all your past, those things you cannot fix on your own are washed away under the blood. And that's what this cup represents, is the breaking of the body of Jesus Christ on that cross and the blood that has been poured out for the washing away of our sins. And all of that is represented in this. This is why we take communion. But if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, this means nothing. And so when you ask Jesus to come into your heart and be the Lord and Savior of your life, you are surrendering yourself, you are dying to your old man, and you are becoming a new creation in Christ Jesus. And you're stepping into some supernatural, amazing things with God. Your future is blessed. It will be ordained. It will be anointed. The presence of God will fill you. I'm not going to say you're not going to have problems, because you will, but you will not be alone in your problems. You will have tools at your right hand. God will bring you and empower you. The Holy Spirit will come and fill you. When you read the Bible, there will be new revelations to you. There will be a hunger of God that will just stir in our hearts. And so today, I want to ask you this question. I want you to examine your heart and answer it for yourself. No one else matters right now, online or in the room, just you and God. Do I know who Jesus Christ is as my personal Lord and Savior? If you say, I don't know, I think so, I hope so, maybe, then how about you do this today? You make sure. Don't wonder, maybe, hope, or think. Get right with the Lord today. If maybe you've been backslidden and you know you kind of been wanting God, but there's so much stuff in the way between you and God, today's the day to clear all of that stuff out, to walk away from it, and to run after God. Stop living a backslidden life, but run a life that is full force, full, like, just running and chasing after the things of God. Today's your day to make that choice. You're not promised tomorrow. I think we've learned that through this 2020 season, that the craziest things have happened. It's almost like nothing shocks us anymore. But I'm here to tell you that we are not promised tomorrow, but if you say yes to Jesus, you are promised an eternal life. Did you know that there's a real heaven and there's a real hell? Satan would like for you to think that there's not, but there is. And when you say yes to God, you're saying yes to eternity. You're saying yes to heaven. You're saying no to hell. You're saying yes to heaven. Isn't that good news? That this is a passing through, that this is not a goodbye. I just lost my father-in-law in April, and I have to tell you, understanding death in a new way is so amazing to me. As much as I miss him and I long to be with him, I have to tell you, I'm not sad like I'm never going to see him again. I think about him every day and I know that he's laughing at me, or I know that he's making some little snarky comment like, you know, but I know he's in heaven dancing on streets of gold. I know he's with his maker and I get to be with him one day. How good is that? I long for that day that I get to open my eyes and be with the one who created me. So girls, today we need to make sure. So if you're not sure, let's make sure today. If you've been running from God instead of to God, it's time to get right today. This is how it's going to go. I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, and you're going to raise your hand, and I'll see your hand. If you're online and you're on our Rock Church platform, there's a little box there that you can raise your hand. Maybe you're on YouTube or you're on Facebook. You can just go ahead and raise a little emoji hand or say, that's me. I want to get right with God. Declare it. Make it known to others. Because when the world comes against you, you're going to be faced with, do you serve God or do you not? And this is your first stand to say, yes, I want God. Yes, I want all of God. And Jesus says that when you confess me before men that I, Jesus, will confess you before my Father when we get to heaven. But if you deny me before man, then I will deny you before my Father. Those are intense words. But God is asking everything of us today. Because as you know, when he went to that cross, he gave everything for you. And so he's asking the same in return. And so if you are wondering or waiting or whatever, just no more playing games with God. It's time to get right. And so here we go. On the count of three, get ready to raise your hand if you're in any of those categories. Get ready online to raise your hand, and then we'll pray a prayer, and then we'll go right into communion. Okay, ready? On the count of three. One, two, three. Go ahead and raise your hand if you want to get right. All right, I see that hand. I see that hand. Anybody else? I see that hand. I see that hand. Beautiful, beautiful. Well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray together. I'm going to pray a prayer. You guys repeat it after me, okay? If you miss a couple words, it's not about the words of our mouth. It's about the beautiful attitude of our heart, because God is after our heart ultimately, okay? And so let's bow our heads and close our eyes, and everyone pray this prayer out loud together. Say, Dear Father God, I come before you today, and I ask that you'd forgive me of my sins, that you would come into my heart and be the Lord and Savior of my life. Holy Spirit, fill me today. Teach me today. Show me how to be a Christian. Show me how to be your daughter. And Lord, thank you that you have saved me, that you're restoring me, and that I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. That my old man is gone today, and I'm headed for heaven. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Well, hallelujah. Can we celebrate just a little? Woohoo! Now, this is what we're going to do. We're going to, now that we've done that, we've gotten our hearts right before God, now we can go into communion. And so, do you girls have your Bibles open? Pastor Sue, do you want to do the first part?
I also delivered to you that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So he took the bread and he said that this was his body, that this represented his body, which was broken for us. His bones weren't broken, but his body was laid bare. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24 that with his stripes we were healed. And so many of you need healing today, or you have loved ones that need healing. And I think in this hour, there is a big separation a lot. People looking to man for, you know, for the cure, for sometimes what only God can give. And so we need to look to him ultimately always for our healing. So right now, if you need healing in your body, we're going to take this bread. We're going to break it. I love to hear it snap, the little wafers that we take. If you have bread at home, just, you know, pull off a piece. But as we take it, as we partake of it, just receive healing in your body if you need it. Receive everything that Jesus has for you right now. Father, we thank you for this bread. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for breaking your body open for us. You let every part of your body be, your blood just drained out, Father, for us to make payment. You are the perfect sacrifice, the payment for our eternal salvation, but also for the healing of our body. And we thank you. We receive from you now, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's take together.
So good. Thank you, Lord. Tracy, will you do the second part?
Yes.
And if you're home, I just wanted to say, if you're home and you're like, I don't have bread or what, you can use anything. Just, it's the surrender of your heart. So if you have a piece of bread, go grab a piece of bread. If you have juice, grab juice. Do what you can do, okay?
That's good. Let's read 1 Corinthians 11, verse 25. It says, in the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So let's remember what Jesus did, and not just remember, but be thankful for what he did. You know, just yesterday I was talking to a brother from our church, Brother BC. Do you know, in Africa, he is a king. He's actually a king in Africa. And he said in Africa, there are blood sacrifices for different levels of sin that you've done. They believe in animal sacrifices. But that human sacrifice, human blood is the ultimate. Nothing can hold you back. It's, you know, and of course these are pagan beliefs. But he has such an understanding of the blood of Jesus because there is nothing stronger. And I've talked to people who found, you know, a curse against their home. Somebody had killed a chicken, put it in front of, you know, that Santeria stuff and whatever. Listen, ladies, the blood of Jesus is stronger than any curse, any kind of blood that was spilled. And it's stronger than any sin that we have committed. The Bible says that in a spiritual way, it is poured out on the mercy seat in heaven. And it satisfies every guilt that we have ever done. There's nothing anyone has ever done on the planet that sin could possibly be stronger than the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus always wins, always covers, and always cleanses. Can we receive that today? Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you. We remember the blood. The blood, it washes away every single sin. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that when we feel bad and condemnation, that's a lie because you've washed it away. And we believe you. We stand with your truth that says, it's washed away, daughter. There's no more record. It's gone. I don't even know what you're talking about. It's washed away. We stand with that truth. And we rejoice, and we rejoice. Oh, the relief of being cleansed, being fresh and clean before you. We're grateful today. Lord, you say that we wear these robes that are white from top to bottom. They're cleansed white as snow. That's how we stand before you because of the blood of Jesus that was poured out. So we remember, we say thank you again today. In Jesus' name, let's partake of the blood. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, so good. Dr. Vanessa, will you pray a blessing over our Thanksgivings and over every woman represented listening and here in person?
Okay. Father, we just thank you, Father. We thank you for this time where we've heard and been reminded about having a grateful heart. We thank you that we commune with you and that your blood washes us clean as snow. And for every woman online and every woman in this sanctuary, I pray that their Thanksgiving is a time where they just feel your presence, where they shine their light, where they are grateful for everyone that you have in their life and all that you've given them, including your marvelous grace, that they don't have to be afraid because you are there. And that your grace is sufficient for every single problem, every mountain they face, every obstacle. And the same power that raised you from the dead is in them. So let us stand up this Thanksgiving during this COVID season, during all the unrest in 2020, and be reminded that we are women of the Most High God. And that through you, not in and of our own strength, but we can do all things. And there is nothing impossible. And so today, in faith, we all say, the Inland Empire shall be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.